U.S. sues S&P.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. There is a lot of blame to go around for the mortgage meltdown, and many have already gotten their punishment. Homeowners have lost their homes, banks have paid billions, and now the government is suing Standard & Poor's for allegedly inflating the ratings for mortgage-backed securities. Marketplace's Jim Burris reports.
The suit alleges S&P knew some $4 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities were risky. But the government claims S&P still gave those securities top ratings. Economic consultant Gary Schilling says Wall Street banks needed S&P's stamp of approval.
And the rating agencies were working with them to put the maximum amount of what was really very low quality merchandise in there and securitize it and sell it off to people who thought that a AAA rating meant something.
Attorney Floyd Abrams represents McGraw-Hill, S&P's parent company.
What the government is claiming is just not so.
George Washington University law professor Jeffrey Manns says this is the first time the government has sued a credit rating agency over the housing crisis.
It may underscore that the federal government will take a more aggressive posture in the future in trying to go and hold rating agencies accountable.
It's expected attorneys general from at least a dozen states will also file suit. I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
French President François Hollande is getting some attention this morning for an economic speech he made at the European Parliament. The BBC's Bethany Bell was there, and she joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so what did François Hollande have to say here?
He said that the Eurozone had largely put the crisis behind it, but he said it couldn't afford endless austerity. He said that any EU budget cuts couldn't undermine growth. Now, that signals that there may be some kind of fight ahead at the summit on the EU's long-term budget later this week, because we've got countries like Britain, which say that they want a freeze in the budget, and there are very big differences of opinion.
Well, and one of the other things he said was that the threat we face now is no longer the mistrust of the market, but that of the people, which is something we've been hearing about more in recent days, especially with a big corruption scandal going on in Spain that might undermine budget cuts going on there.
Yes, the big challenge for Europe at the moment was how they can win back the support for the idea of Europe among its people. And he called for a vision of less austerity, more in terms of providing social security for people and creating jobs for the very, very many young people who are without employment.
Is he still regarded around Europe as one of the top people to deal with this European debt crisis along with Angela Merkel in Germany?
Very much so. They're seen as the great motors of the Eurozone. But again, it has to be said that France and Germany have differing positions as to the way forward exactly. He said that he was concerned about the euro. He called for an exchange rate policy. And there's also concern at the moment in France that the euro is too strong,
right,
which could undermine exporters.
The BBC's Bethany Bell joining us from Strasbourg, where President Hollande spoke today at the European Parliament. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning. Down almost 2% in Tokyo, but up 1% right now in Paris. On Wall Street yesterday, no new records. The Dow slipped 129 points to close at 13,880.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, whose Reputation Defender service is designed to help businesses and professionals improve their search results. Learn more at Reputation.com. By Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Emerald Data Solutions, whose BoardDocs web applications are designed to help governing bodies operate more effectively by eliminating paper and streamlining board packet processes. BoardDocs.com.
The unemployment rate in the U.S. is 7.9%, and until that figure falls to 6.5%, the Federal Reserve says it'll keep up its aggressive monetary easing. In some parts of the country, though, unemployment is below 6.5%. We sent Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman to one of them, Boise, Idaho.
Hey, Blake.
Hey, Mitchell Hartman. So this is the place,
this
huh?
This is Boise Fry Company. Yeah, welcome.
You can't legally come to southwestern Idaho, I don't think, without eating Idaho potatoes.
You want a small size or large size? Bison or beef?
Boise Fry Company is tucked into a strip mall just minutes from downtown. It's the brainchild of 32-year-old entrepreneur Blake Lingle. He's cornered the gourmet French fry market.
At the top is the russet. Gold is next to that. It's kind of a slightly more buttery, softer, sweet, maybe a little sweeter version of the russet. My preference, I like it over the russet.
Lingle serves beef and bison burgers plus six kinds of fries with sauces like Cajun and garlic aioli.
This is a fairly high-priced burger joint. It's not, you know, McDonald's. I mean, you're going to pay twice as much to eat here.
But get this, Lingle didn't start up when the economy was recovering. He opened 3.5 years ago, when unemployment was around 9% and local employers like Hewlett-Packard and Micron were laying off thousands.
You know, I was determined to open a business, and at some point, if it just happens to be the right time, you can't let a lot of other variables go through your mind. Some of the, you know, America's most successful companies actually did start during recessions. I think sometimes it allows you to be a lot more perhaps conservative in your financial approach to a business. You realize how risky it is.
Lingle did some things right, like location. He opened down the street from Boise's biggest hospital. Now he's opening his third restaurant. He'll have 30 employees. He pays well above minimum wage with full benefits. And in Boise, where unemployment has now fallen to 6.2%, things are looking, well, normal again.
I feel like a lot of my friends and colleagues have perhaps gotten promotions, gotten new jobs. I've seen a lot of other people take sort of entrepreneurial risks that I wasn't seeing in the last 3 years.
I insist on finishing our interview with the house special. It's called Bourgeois Fries, very marketplace, russets cooked in duck fat with truffle salt. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, to Muzak. That background music we hear in malls and elevators, well, according to the New York Times, the company that owns the name Muzak is rebranding it Mood. The Muzak itself will not change. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Amy Webb wanted to find a husband. She tried online dating, but there was a problem.
And it turned out that really the only thing that the dating sites were able to match me correctly on was zip code.
So she did the matching herself. I'm Kai Rizdal, gaming the data to find your true love. That and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.